the Klingons. I wouldn't be that needy. I think that would be a fair assessment as a person. But that's not what we're talking about, is it, Emily, this morning? Emily Parrish-Smith, good morning.
We can talk about whatever you like, Ryan. You know that.
Well, what we are talking about is really a listener who got in touch with us. And we spoke to her on the telephone, obviously, on the radio, about her personal grooming. Mm-hmm. And she had seen all these images and she was wondering, am I getting it right or am I getting it wrong? Now, I think she might have had other insecurities that she kind of alluded to that may have been more important. But this was an element of that story, if you like.
Sure.
And so we were wondering if people were aware at all that they're allowed to be in charge of their sexuality. Mm. That they don't have to watch posters or movies or other magazines, and they can just to approach themselves and their sex life. We're talking about knowing limits. Yeah. Know your limits, I suppose. So let's crack on with a question, which is it okay to be nervous about the first sexual encounter you might have with a new partner?
Yeah, of course, it's normal and natural to be nervous, but there's different kinds of nervous, aren't there? There's the nervous that's sort of like butterflies in your tummy. It's an anticipation of something good, and you're sort of excited and wondering how it's going to go. That's the kind of healthy, helpful, normal, exciting nervousness that we get when we're meeting new people that we may be attracted to or may be attracted to us. Lots of hormones rushing around our bodies and to make us feel excited and to motivate us to make a good effort and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then there's other kinds of nervousness. You know, is it nervousness or is it worried? Are you worried? Are you anxious? Are you fearful? Because that's slightly different, and that's a personal call for you to kind of gauge the difference. If you are worried, if you're fearful, why? You know, maybe it's because you have you're just socially anxious and you have problems meeting people, and that's a separate thing as well, which I'm not going to focus on. I'm more interested in: are you worried about how you're going to perform, how you look, how you are going to be judged? Are you worried that this person you're going to meet, maybe it's not your first date, is going to have expectations of you that you're not ready to meet in relation to being sexual with them? They're different. If the feeling you have in your tummy isn't one of butterflies and, you know, hopping bunnies kind of a thing, you know,
yeah,
if it's more of a kind of a churning and
am I good enough, will I be okay, will she enjoy, will he enjoy, or what have you,
it may be a possibility to just slow things down a little bit. Maybe you're going a little bit too fast, and maybe you need some more information. Maybe you need to build up your understanding or of what's going to happen next, and maybe you need to have a conversation with the person you're going to meet about what to expect and what they can expect.
I mean, do people get into a discussion about their first encounter, or do they get lost in a moment? Let's be honest about it.
People don't.
It's got to be the second one.
People don't. I mean, first encounters, that's one thing. I think it's very setting limits are much. It's much easier to set your limits when you're on your own, with yourself, and figure out what would I be okay with. What's going to be safe for me? What do I? And it's a personal, it's a subjective thing. You can't get the answers from these questions from movies or the media or me. You have to get them from yourself. Because there isn't a right or a wrong answer. If you are comfortable with having a meal, flirting, and maybe a kiss, a peck on the mouth at the end of the night, if it's gone really well, then if you know that in advance, it's going to be a lot easier for you to stick to that, and you can relax into the date a lot more. You're not going to be worried about, God, what am I going to do if he tries it on or if she tries it on and it goes further than I'm ready. Anything that takes you out of the moment, anything that has you worrying stops you enjoying what you're doing at the time.
Like the conversation that may or may not lead to the next step.
So if you decide what your limits are before you meet a person, it's easier to be clear in your own mind when something comes up. If you are the sort of person who's able to state that in a friendly, conversational way during the night, that's even better, because then you're only having to reiterate rather than establish it in the first place in the heat of a moment.
Yeah, okay.
But it's funny, isn't it, how we are so scared and worried about naming our boundaries or our limits in relation to sexuality. We really don't do it.
Yeah, and I suppose there is that element about, there are no rules, are there? In mostly, when it comes to sexuality, there are some, like, if, for example, you're not allowed, you should be able to decide if you want to do something. Obviously, that's the nature of it. The first date, for example, some people are up for right, action and ready to go on the first day. And some people are much more tentative and say, no, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of guy. Where do you?
And both are right. There's no wrong. It's just what you're comfortable with. If you are genuinely comfortable and happy to be fully sexual on your first date, you know, great, fantastic. It's just to be careful. Are you really, or are you doing what you think is expected of you, or are you performing?
Yeah.
Because there's a difference, isn't there, between performing sex and enjoying sex? And if you're performing, it's very hard to be in touch with what you actually need and to know whether you're crossing your own limits or not. Before you know it, you've acted out this amazing scene you saw in some porn or some movie or that you read about somewhere, and you've acted it out in order to be cool and to be a really great lover, and suddenly it's taken you into a place that you weren't prepared to be in. And then what do you do? So that's how performing can be a tricky choice. I think more and more people are performing sex rather than enjoying sex.
And where did that come from? Is that from cultural influence, really?
Yeah, I think so. And also, I think it's from all the, you know, sex tapes and all the sexualization of everything in our society. We are so worried about how we look and how we are perceived. It worries us more almost than how we really are.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it if we have that in our general lives, it's going to certainly feed into our sex lives, and it's going to be rife in our sex lives because we don't talk about our sex lives. We don't talk about sexuality. So it doesn't get touched by common sense and reality the same way as other areas of our lives may
that
do.
That can do. What about finding the sexual limits and knowing? How do you know what your limits are or can be?
Well, again, I think it's something for you. I don't think people, again, if we can get past the whole thing of sex being so taboo that we mustn't even think about it, let alone, you know, imagine ourselves in those sexual situations, unless we're trying to be dirty and bold. And, you know, if we could do away with those two extremes and just realize that we all muddle along somewhere in the middle there, then we might be we might allow ourselves to think about what would it be like if somebody asked me if I would like to have anal sex with them. Is that something I'd actually be interested in, or is it something that is a step too far for me? If you have some idea of that in advance, again, it's easier for you to then state it to a person. And there isn't a right or wrong. It's absolutely okay if you've no interest in, for example, anal sex or oral sex or sex in public places or dressing up or spanking or whatever. It's absolutely fine. As long as you don't feel limited, as long as your limits aren't limiting your enjoyment or your partner's enjoyment. If your limits are, then you may want to have a really good look at them and see, are they helpful? Are they limits you want to keep? Are they based on facts that you've actually looked up, or are they based on a kind of an assumption that everybody thinks that's wrong or that's dirty or dangerous? Maybe you need to explore those a little bit more and decide whether you want to keep them or not.
You could have one who's into all sorts and the other who's you're perfectly compatible in every sense, but then when it gets to the bedroom, one's going, I want something a bit different, the other one's going, not really, like, we're not just do the same as always.
Yeah, and that's really tricky and really common, and that causes desire discrepancy because one person will get bored and one person will get pressured. So in those instances, again, we're back to communication. How do you hold on to your own identity, hold on to yourself as a person, and be able to negotiate some changes, maybe for yourself and your partner? How do you not feel that if I give in to this, I'm going to just lose myself? That's another whole area which is really fascinating. But I do think if your limits are creating a situation in your sex life that isn't working for you, then a few things need to be examined. You shouldn't just brush it under the table.
Brush
it under the table?
Or the carpet, maybe. Depending on wherever you're doing it at the time. As a bunch of friends, as a text, we wonder about sleeping with guys on the first date. Some of us think you can have a relationship after the first night of sex. Some of us reckon he'll never get in touch again. But you see,
Well, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that every guy is different. There's not some prototype fellow who comes out and says, this is what we do. We don't, just to let you know, girls, we don't all sit around having a pint with the lads saying, this is how we roll.
Well, in fact, we don't.
No, not at all. No, there will be maybe some discussion about how amazing we all are, different things.
Because you are all amazing.
Thank you very much. But it's we don't have sit down and write the manifesto for what we're going to do on the first night.
It would be a lot easier if you would, you know. It would make things a lot clearer. Then we could sue you.
We'll write one if you write one, and then we can check each other's answers.
You won't be able to understand ours.
No, we never will.
Ours will be 40,000 pages long.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'll pay for your flight to Venus and I'll sort out mine to Mars and we'll write our manifestos
there. We're messing with stereotypes, but it is really very important to understand that you are going to be taking a risk by having sex on the first night if you're looking to have a relationship with that person.
So the risk is...
Well, you don't know how they will react, do you?
Because they might say, oh, you're one of those. That was lovely.
But you know, why don't you talk about it in advance? It doesn't have to be about how you're going to be sexual. With your date.
I know that, but I'm saying guys would... I don't think Irish guys would be in the situation. Now, this is a lovely date. and I'm just wondering, are we going to have sex? And in the event that we I don't think we're interested in discussing what the
but maybe you could have a conversation about... Maybe you could bring it up and like, God, I saw that thing on the news the other day, or the thing in Hello magazine, and what do you think about first night, first date sex?
Okay, so you're a stealth conversation.
Yeah, but equally, why should it be about you personally on the first date? That could be too vulnerable, but it's perfectly okay to discuss values and attitudes in a more general sense.
Sounds new manny and Irish guys wouldn't be able for that.
Oh, come on.
No, seriously, I think it's a nice intention, but that's all it's going to be.
I think some Irish men are a lot more capable than
about
you're giving 2%. Them credit for.
About 2%.
Well, there's only about 2% of them available for dating, aren't there? So.
I'm not sure. We often get...
Would you not be able to... Would you be... If somebody brought up a conversation with you around the idea of when's a good time to have sex...
You're losing me here.
Would you? Yeah. You're just no, the answer would be
I,
now.
No, I think I'd be very... what time? Yeah. I think it would be one of those things would be... No, I just don't think that whole negotiating that side of life is something that I, as an old-fashioned kind of guy, would be kind of inclined to do. I don't think I'm new man enough for...
But you know, this is the thing. We have to catch up with the times.
Yeah, I think you're right, by the way, and I should.
We have to aim for better. We can't aim for our history, because our history really was unhealthy and really unhelpful. So we can't keep saying, I've never done that and it'll never happen in Ireland, because we said that about smoking ban, we said it about... I remember seatbelts.
Seatbelts.
Take personally, mortally wounded that I'd have to wear a seatbelt. Yeah. I thought it was an outrage. And
we were laughing the other day about how we used to all go hop in the car, six in the back, no seatbelts.
After six pints.
A few pints.
close the windows.
Cigarettes, close the windows, we're about to smoke. And Neil Diamond on the radio. And away we go.
Oh,
6 hours to go.
We could have been in the same car. We probably raced you.
I probably.
Very irresponsibly. Yeah.
Text says, all I can say is I am glad I'm not in the dating game. I don't think I could cope.
Yeah, it is a really difficult game to be in. And I think, I know that person wasn't necessarily saying they think of it as a game, but I think if you do think of it as a game, you're probably going to make it more complicated for yourself and for the people you're dating. It's better to be as authentic as you can be.
All right, before we go, people may do things they regret. I suppose you're talking about consent. And you have to watch that, don't you? I mean,
this is another really interesting thing, and another thing we really shy away from, and it's absolutely vital, because we're in a society now where we are being bombarded with messages of no means yes, and if you keep persevering, you'll break somebody down and they'll eventually want it and then they'll like it. That's not true. That was never true. That was a fantasy, and it has never been the case that somebody, if you wear them down by poking and prodding them and begging them and harassing them, that eventually they're going to enjoy what comes at the end of it. That doesn't really happen. It never really did. But we're still kind of basing our sexual encounters on that idea, and women expect it and men expect it, and it's really doing neither of them any justice. We need to slow down, and we need to actually begin to look at what is consent. Do I know how to give consent? Do I know how to be really clear about it? And if not, what's stopping me? And to really begin to look at that. Is it a fear that you won't be liked, accepted, that this person will think you're kind of weird, because if it's any of those reasons, they're not good enough.
Yes.
They're not good enough. Are you safe? Are you being respected? Are you going to come away from this encounter feeling that was fantastic and everybody had a good time? And because if if you know, that's what we're after. So you have to really understand consent. You have to be able to give it. And have you seen, interestingly, in California now, they have made it, they've just legislated that any state-funded university has to adopt an affirmative consent approach to investigating any kind of sexual assault on campus, because sexual assaults are rampant.
Yeah.
So not it's no longer enough to be able to say, did the person say no, either by, you know, out loud, did they say no, were they clear about it? That used to lead to a place where people would think, well, if they didn't struggle and they didn't and they were silent, that could have been misconstrued as a yes. So that does away with that. It means that that cannot be considered a yes. And not only that, but a person will have to ask for a yes, a verbal I want to do this throughout the encounter, not just at the beginning, because people may change their minds. Gosh. People may get into something that they're suddenly uncomfortable with.
Is that policeable?
Is it policeable? See, good guys, and I don't mean to this, I'm not, we're short on time, so I'm going to make it sound very black and white, though it isn't. Good guys are glad about that.
Yeah.
It makes it a little bit clearer for them.
Do you know what figure I heard yesterday at this campaign I was helping out launch in the Safe Ireland effort against domestic violence? It was this. It's illegal to marital rape.
Yeah, sure.
There has been, you can be convicted for marital rape in Ireland now. Do you know how many men have been convicted of marital rape in Ireland since that law came in? One.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that shocking?
Mm. When did it come in?
I'm not sure of when it came in, but this was the figure that was mentioned yesterday. I found that quite frightening. Could you imagine the amount of women who are being maritally raped, if you
and
like?
And raped by partners, whether they're married or not.
And they don't want to talk about it, and they don't want to report their shame and everything else, and their lives will be turned upside down if they're not already enough. What a scary figure.
But we also believe that we also still, if we don't talk about it, this is why we have to start thinking,
yes,
what's okay? What's really okay? If you don't, then we're stuck in traditional values where a man had the right to have sex with his wife, with his partner. And
ownership.
And that's still really, really common and makes limit setting really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still believed very commonly that if a woman, and I'm going to use men and women, though it's not just a heterosexual thing. If a woman gets a man excited, then she has a duty to see it through and to give him a happy ending one way or another. She has a duty because somehow he's going to turn into that character in the Willy Wonka film who eats too many blueberries.
Augustus,
and he's just going to fill and fill and fill with semen and sperm until he finally explodes and dies if she doesn't do so. I mean, that's
the...
What else,
thinking.
You know, what else can it be? Like, it's like a man can't control his own arousal. He can't deal with his penis going back to being flaccid without having to be stimulated into orgasm. It's crazy.
Okay, just to quickly to say that marital rape was criminalised in Ireland. I would have guessed, given that there's only one person has been convicted of it, I would have guessed maybe 3 years. The fact of the matter is it was criminalised in Ireland in 1990.
Wow. Yeah.
That is a terrifying figure.
Well, it fits with the amount of people who are done for rape. Generally,
it's kind of
proportional in a way.
It's a grim note on which to end, but we must end and say thank you, Emily, as always.
Thank you very much, Ryan. So much to talk about,
Masses. We will do it again, no question. And it's, as we say, it's good to talk. It's good to talk about these things. It's good to talk.
Do you remember Bob Hoskins?
He died.
He didn't.
Bob Hoskins died.
Not so good to talk then.
Not so...
You just contradicted everything I've been saying.
I'm so sorry. Emily Parrish-Smith, thank you.
Thank you.